from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Text message. Need to increase the roster size to 60 to spare Hannah McNair's feelings. That's good. Well, you'll hear us talk about that with her. The emotion that goes with cutting down an NFL roster, the bond you build with some of the players, that the family builds with some of the players. We go back to the hiring of D'Amico Ryans, what D'Amico's meant to this football team and this franchise and the building over there, and how they're feeling about the upcoming season and where the team is overall. So here is Seth and I. We sat down over at NRG Stadium yesterday with Texans owner Cal McNair and his wife, the VP of the Houston Texans Foundation as well, Hannah McNair. Here is our conversation with Team McNair. We welcome in Cal McNair, CEO and owner of the team, and Hannah McNair, of course, vice president of the Houston Texans Foundation and wife of Cal McNair. It's great to see both of you. So we just got off the practice field here. Well, we just got done watching people get off the practice field. And I want to start with the energy out there this year, which has been just off the charts for you guys. Can you guys put into words what that means to you to see just, we're here at 5:30 in the morning when we were doing our show out here, and there's fans lined up down Merworth to come watch this football team. What's that like for you guys?
Oh, it's amazing. It's awesome, the energy they bring to practice and that they want to be a part of it. And then after practice, we're signing autographs and getting to interact with the fans, and they're so excited to be here and be a part of it. And with where the team is going, you know, it's just a tremendous, tremendous thing. So we're really happy about it.
So I would say 2 years ago when Cal started his cookout, that was a hard time to start that and put yourself out there and really be in front of everyone, given where the team was at the time. So to see the transition to where we are now has been an incredible opportunity for us to be a part of and really steer the ship to head that direction.
Well, so that's been all fun. From the grill out? That my grilling did all that.
Yes.
And he did. I knew I was good. Yeah. I didn't know it was that
you
good.
You are good.
He did it with a makeshift staff. I know
I
that.
I think you were there, right?
One of the burger flippers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sweating away back there.
Sean and I were actually talking about that a couple of days ago, was, you know, that you guys started that at a time when fan sentiment was much different than it is right now. And like, I try to put myself in your shoes of taking that plunge and putting yourself out there when you know the reception isn't going to be what it is right now when you do that stuff. Was that did you have to make a conscious decision to almost say 1, 2, 3, jump and just do it and disregard however it might be received or anything?
Well, so I challenge our employees to challenge each other and challenge me. And they challenged me. They said, we think you need to do this. And I said, all right, I guess I can't challenge y'all and, you know, not be able to accept the challenge. It was only fair. And so a lot of the things that they were wanting to do, turns out they were pretty good. And so we got a good staff with a lot of good suggestions. AMA last night asked me anything. It was another one of those things that started out and I'm like going, y'all want me to do what? But, you know, this year was really, and all the years have been really fun. And But the my interactions with the fans one-on-one have always been very positive. The mm-hmm. fans are always respectful. They love the team, and they just want the team to do well, and that's what I want.
Was that so in part of that, how you addressed your employees and asking themselves to be challenged, was that also just, do some things that you're uncomfortable doing? It's going to be a drastic change, or it's just going to be, we're going to be doing things differently, and it might not be comfortable at first?
May not be comfortable.
Yeah. And be okay with failing. So it just have an idea, try to push yourself. Even if it fails, it's okay. We learned something from it. Let's go do something now. Like, it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
We did the
just as long
Miller,
as we push ourselves to
the
be
draft
great.
At the Miller Theater was awesome.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. That was another one of those things. So a lot of those things. And then, you know, talking about changing, you want to change the uniforms?
Yeah.
These have been our uniforms for 20 years. So.
Yeah.
Why do you want to change it? It's been good.
And I think the average fan doesn't realize how much goes into that. You know, just like, just change the colors and change the logo. There's a lot that goes into that, right?
Mm-hmm. It ain't easy.
Yeah. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair with us here on Sports Radio 610. Okay, I want to ask you guys this, because we've watched Nick and D'Amico work together now for over a year. And Nick is very open about the fact he didn't know D'Amico that well when you guys first went through the interview process. You guys knew D'Amico really, really well. So I was thinking this, like, back when I'm introducing to a new friend, and I'm like vouching for him, you know, I'm like, this guy's really cool, you're going to like him. Can you take us through that? What was it like watching? Obviously, Nick took a real shine to D'Amico, but can you just take us through that process of, like, explaining, like, you know, what D'Amico was all about, and then watching Nick kind of connect with him like that?
It was fun. So we did know D'Amico, and as you know, anybody who's ever been around D'Amico, even in talking with his former teammates while we were going through this and seeing what candidates we wanted to bring in, everybody had the same thing to say about D'Amico. It was always, he's always been meant to be a coach. Yeah. Like, he coached us on the field. He's a great guy. He's all about the team. He wants to win. And the guys respect him. So when it was time for interviewing, you know, of course, Nick didn't know him, but he was obviously open to it. And he had heard a lot of good things about him as well. But I would say during that interview, you could almost see the transition and all of us in that interview. D'Amico just knocked it out of the park. And you knew at that moment, that's the guy you wanted to go get.
Yeah.
Was that, and the way they told the story was he was late. You like, they had practice that ran long, and so he had to jump on. I'm guessing he was still sweaty.
He was just dressed from here up.
Yeah, oh, really? Was he wearing a suit?
Like, probably shorts.
He had a jacket.
He had a full
at least
jacket.
Down to here.
Yeah, it's great.
It's hard, and I guess you guys have a lot of experience with it now, ever since COVID, of just doing more Zoom interviews as opposed to the old days. So it's become more common for you. It's impressive for something like that to come through on a Zoom interview, I guess.
Yeah. It's like texting someone, you know, it doesn't always come across well.
Yeah.
But I mean, for him to come across well on a Zoom, to be able to capture a room of people and for him to sell like that to all of us, for us to all want to run through a wall for him.
Yeah.
By the end of that interview.
A pep talk almost.
At the end, he said, we asked him if there was anything else he wanted to say. It was essentially, I mean, all of a sudden you're ready to go play a game for him. All of us were.
Yeah, and then I think after that, so Nick vetted him with other coaches and players, and his football IQ, D'Amico's, is really, really high. His leadership is really, really high. He's so well-respected around the league. And, you know, his work shows up on tape. You can watch the game and see his unit was really fundamentally sound and knew what they were doing and ranked really high in the league. And so and his leadership, you know, we saw that and we knew that, but Nick did all his background check because we rely on him for all that. And just the more he worked and looked at it, the more he was convinced that D'Amico was our guy.
He said,
Cal and Hannah, you were right.
Yeah. In our heads, that's what he said.
In our heads, that's
he
what
is
he
really cool. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that feel like you have to hire an offensive coordinator. You want to, if you're going to have a young quarterback, you have to have an offensive coordinator so you can stay with that guy forever. And I understand that personally. I feel like when you're hiring a head coach, first and foremost, you want to hire a leader. But I think if I were an owner, I would also say, all right, but if I've got two leaders and one of them is offensive coordinator, I'll probably favor the offensive coordinator. Was there any concern over hiring a defensive-minded coach?
Well, and that's a great debate that we had, and I think it happens all the time, that debate. But if you, but in talking and interviewing the coach, if he has a great understanding of what he wants on the offense and possibly who he might bring to the table to fulfill that position, then you feel like you can go with a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
If he's just kind of scratching his head saying, yeah, I like offense, then you'd be worried.
Yeah.
But D'Amico knew what offense he wanted, and he had a list of people that he would like to talk to if he were given the opportunity. And then we felt really good about that.
I think there's been a defensive head coach that won a few Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several.
If I go look it up, I'll check Wikipedia. I think you're right about that. Cal and Hannah McNair joining us here on Sports Radio 610. All right, so let's talk about the current season for a little bit. Are you guys like we are and like fans are the day the schedule comes out where it's like Christmas morning and you can't wait to see? You guys probably see it before we all do. But are you as looking forward to seeing the schedule? And as far as this schedule goes, was there something that jumped out at you about it that, and I know we're focused on week one and beating the Colts and whatnot, but just in terms of excitement and looking at it, was there a particular part of it that got you really excited?
Week one and beating the Colts.
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Well, and then our first home game is a nighttime game.
Yeah, there you
all
go.
All the primetime games.
Awesome. Yeah.
And, I'm not a fan of Thursday night games.
Yeah.
I like, you know, the Sunday games.
Sure.
And or Monday night, I like those primetime games just because I worry about injury being on a short week.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, when I looked at the December part, yeah, that's what I looked at, and I went, wow, okay, this is what determines who we are, that December
part.
Yeah,
it's a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Well, at least on paper right now, it's a gauntlet.
Yeah. Well, and I think to see that there's only four teams that got that handed to them, right? That whole 10-day, three-game thing. And I think it's got to be cool for you guys to see Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, three kind of blue-blood teams that now you guys are looked at in that same realm. I don't think they're throwing – I'm not going to name names, but there's certain teams I don't think they're throwing into that. Those are four teams that are either contenders or, in the case of the Steelers, like a perennial contender, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and December is like that, though, right? Like, December determines who's going to the playoffs.
For sure.
And what they look like, who's healthy, who's not. So having to go through the gauntlet at that time of the year is going to be – we'll see what we have.
Yeah, we should be playing our best ball there.
Yep.
Hey, New York. Cal McNair and the Texans love Thursday night games.
Good job, Cal.
Good job.
Yeah.
My bad.
Good job.
Amazon? Yeah, Amazon.
It's just Bezos. No big deal.
Thanks, Amazon.
Hey, Jeff Bezos. You guys have had a few years now with Nick Caserio, and obviously, like, when
see,
you hire
you
somebody,
need to filter me.
Bezos is fine. You guys have had a few years with Nick Caserio now, and obviously, you don't know somebody at all, really, when you first hire them. Is there any part of Nick and the way he's grown into the job that either surprised you or is different than maybe you thought was the guy you were hiring?
No, I think he's pretty much who we thought we were going to get. I mean, his ability to identify talent, his work ethic is off the charts. And then the great match was with D'Amico. He matched that work ethic, and that's part of the thing. I think they really enjoy working with each other, and that matches up. But he's been terrific, and he's been really good at putting together great drafts and bringing in, you know, even lower round players, and they turn out to be a good match for our team, but it has free agency as well. And then you get to this cut coming up next week, which is a big cut.
Yeah.
He'll be very active there and trying to improve the roster and make wise decisions on ours. So I think all that are things that I was looking that he would bring to the table, and I think he has.
Yeah.
Fixed all the money issues.
Yeah. There were those.
He had some obstacles.
He had a job ahead of him.
He did.
And he went to work and did it.
Well, I don't remember what I was going to ask, Sean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. I threw you off.
Shop talk.
That's fine.
That was the question I was going to ask. It is shop talk. Yeah, Hannah's, we were talking off air. Hannah's got like three new ideas for our show.
No, it was Cal. It was Cal's idea.
Oh, it was Cal's
I can't
idea.
Take credit. I wish I could.
Hannah's pushing them.
Sean's House of Pain.
Yeah.
Shop talk. It's shop Sean, talk. But apparently it's Sean's House of Pain.
Damn right, but House of Pain is you.
You're damn right it is.
It's me, yeah. But it's like Sean owns me. I don't know if I'm. I got to let this sink in. I need some time on this.
Yeah. There's no ego on this show.
So with your interactions with Nick and D'Amico, do you guys have like a weekly schedule of when you meet with them, and like what are those meetings like?
You're making me give up all my secrets. Yeah, I do have a meeting with each of them weekly, and they can vary from, 10 minutes to an hour, just depending on what's going on. But I think it's important for us to sit down face-to-face and make sure we're on the same page. But also, I'll get to see them on the field because I go to practice quite a bit, mm-hmm. and I'll visit with them and see what's on their mind, and we'll talk about things on the field. So we do it out there in here, but we have a regularly scheduled meeting for both of them.
I just remember Dom Capers telling us as a team once, and I think it was as a way to basically tell us how bad we were doing, but it was, he told us about the weekly meeting he had with your father, yep. and how it was, he was basically saying that Mr. McNair, he asks some really good questions, and they're hard questions to answer sometimes, and right now they're really hard to answer. So,
you're sending me into a buzzsaw.
the way he explained it, and it was interesting because it almost felt like, it was the wisdom of your father, just almost like your father had some good advice for a football coach.
Was this his last year he was getting?
I don't know.
It was very hard.
Some hard questions.
It wasn't on the football side of things always, It was just about life or dealing with people and everything and some of the challenges. So, I guess you have a different perspective on those two than those two do. But when it comes to whatever challenges they might be facing, you're at an age now where you've got some wisdom to you, and I'm
just calling me old.
Don't look so surprised.
Like he's calling me old.
That's why it's Sean's House of Pain.
You've been in the league a long time now.
20 plus years.
Do you ever find yourself giving advice?
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Cal's way of giving advice is asking questions that are thought-provoking,
yeah,
in a way where it makes you think about things in a different light than what you might normally.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
That's my go-to. I got one question for you.
What the hell are you doing?
Hey, so do the McNair kids have a favorite? What's the jersey situation in the McNair household right now? Do the kids have a favorite going?
Because
there's a lot of star power. There's a lot of jersey possibilities on this team right now.
Calhoun wants an Aziz right now. He is a big fan of him. So the two older boys have been working training camp. They have football practice in the morning, and then they come to training camp and they do the water and towels. And so Calhoun's been on the defensive side, and he's just gotten a relationship with Aziz that he just really, really likes him as a person and as a player. And so he wants an Aziz jersey.
He wants that zero jersey. Yeah.
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 Robert's been helping the quarterbacks.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Robert's been with the quarterbacks. Yeah. They mess with him. They pour water on him, apparently, and all sorts of
things. That's
good.
So you're getting him involved in the family business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting at the water level. I like it.
I started in water.
Starting in water and towels. Absolutely. Right? That's where they've got to start.
Yep.
Yeah.
It worked really well for Adam Sandler. It did indeed. Hannah's laughing.
I know. I got a joke. Waterboy joke.
I was thinking, where does he play?
Great movie. He had a great mom.
Exactly.
Oh, his mom. Yes.
Before we get you out of here, so big excitement. We got the cookout tomorrow. Really, today is when people are going to be listening to this. So the third annual, and then it's the countdown to the regular season. So a lot of excitement going on.
Are you cooking?
I am cooking again. Excellent. It's a tradition like no other, Hannah.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
We'll have your towel ready. Yes.
I can't believe training camp's almost over. But,
I know.
But it's exciting thinking that next week we'll have the team we're going to go to war with.
Yeah.
And all the fans. Hey, these are the guys that are going to go to war for you and win some games for you. So really looking forward to it.
We introduced the team at the season premiere. So that's on the 29th.
August 29th. Yeah, we should mention that season premiere coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's turned into a much larger affair and more open to...
It's what used to be the luncheon, right? And now, is this the third season premiere that you guys have done?
This is the third one. Again, it started in 2022, just doing something different. And we've been able to raise a lot of funds for the community, so we're excited about what we can do.
This feels like this is the hardest year in a long time to start looking at some of the guys who are going to be cut, or trying to figure out who will make it the team. Is it do you have emotional attachments to some of these players that you're kind of just dreading to see whether who is it, Hannah? You're nodding your head.
I'm glad that's not my job.
Who's getting cut, Hannah? Cut him right now.
No, Hannah's making a really sad face.
This is my least favorite part. And injuries. They're gut wrenching. I mean, especially in Houston, when you watch them do this training camp in this heat and put that effort out there, and what D'Amico expects of these guys. I mean, it's not an easy training camp either. No. So I think a lot of these guys, though, will get picked up, which is the good part about being in our camp and on this team, this training camp. I think a lot of these guys will get picked up just because of how D'Amico trains them.
Yeah, super talented, super deep roster. Yeah. There are a lot of guys that are going to be playing football on other teams this year that are going to get let go for sure. All right, well, we appreciate you guys making time for us. Can't wait for the regular season to get here. Should be really, really exciting. It's been a fun training camp. Really appreciate Cal McNair, Hannah McNair.
Sean's House of Pain.
Shop Talk. Thanks for having us.
Cal McNair, marketing genius. Yes. Appreciate you guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Cal was very proud of Sean's House of Pain.
Yeah, they were really pushing it. Hannah kept pushing it after we stopped recording, too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I kind of like it.
She was saying it's more my name than yours, because at least it's my last name. Sean's House of Pain.
It's your last name, but I own the house.
But you own the house, yeah. That's about right, actually, now that I think about it. I told her I'd have to sleep on it and think about
it. So what do you think?
I couldn't make a decision in the morning. I still think Pain and Pendergast is better. I don't even mind if we call it Pendergast and Pain. Yeah. I said right at the beginning when we started this show, I have zero ego about it. Whatever you guys think sounds best, and I think Pain and Pendergast, I guess people just decided
it flows a little better with the short name and then the long name. Maybe a segment, though, you know, like maybe Shop Talk for a segment. Sean's House of Pain.
Shop
and I just
talk.
Bring it, you know, maybe okay. That's kind of like a version of the Petty Cast that we've been workshopping a little bit.
Okay,
we'll put it on the big book of Cal McNair's ideas for the show.
Yeah.
Ben, if I were an employee, put that in the big book of Cal McNair's ideas for Pain and Pendergast.
If I were an employee of Cal and he kind of casually brought that up the way they did, you know, where they're joking about it and everything, but then I'd be like, okay, so I guess we're calling it Sean's House of Pain. Yeah. Like, I'm not an idiot.
You know what I like? My job.
So now I'm kind of rankling against it, actually.
Right.
I want to call it whatever the hell I want to call it. I liked hearing about what it was like interviewing D'Amico for the first time. Because we've heard different versions of the story, both from Casario and others. And I think Cal and Hannah have talked about it, but I think just that I like the image of D'Amico kind of rushing in off the practice field. I didn't realize, in my mind, he was still wearing his practice gear, but he did put on a suit, which is hard to do, man, when you're sweating. Putting on a suit when you're sweating, thinking about your future dry cleaning bill,
you're getting ready for a playoff game, too.
Yeah,
you know, it's a stressful environment.
And he knocked it out of the park. It also made me think of the fact that D'Amico had pulled himself out of the job search the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered if maybe part of that was, you know, sometimes that first year of interviews, I think, is very instructive for the coaches themselves, that sometimes they might feel like, you know what, I thought I had a plan, but it needs to be a better plan. Like, they, not in like how they interview or anything, but even in going through the interview process, maybe some blind spots in their plan for what they're going to do as a head coach, maybe they don't feel that great about, or they know it could be better, so they want to really nail it in the next offseason.
Yeah.
And that's why for the guys that I think are genuinely ready to be a head coach, I feel like they should have spent all the time prepping for that interview. I'm saying in air quotes, is more like, no, like, all you really need is a good vision for how you're going to run your team. And then the interview is easy.
And the ability to express it.
Yeah, you worked on that already. That structure and framework is in place. And then, you know, and if you're a defensive-minded coach, what's my specific plan for how are we going to handle the offense? I guess I should have followed up with Cal about, like, did he have a plan for what happens when his offensive coordinator leaves?
Yeah.
And I think D'Amico does. Partly just because of the system that they run, there's a whole lot of coaches out there. He's probably got a list of that same list he had last year is still his list of guys that he thinks could be offensive
coordinators. He's got a list of 10 guys in the upper drawer of his desk. 100%, 100%. I wonder too with D'Amico, like, he so wanted this job.
Yeah.
When this job came open and he was ready to be a head coach, he was a candidate for all four of the other openings as well. They all wanted to interview him, but he didn't even bother. He wanted this job. I wonder how much of him going through a couple of interviews, or maybe one interview, I think it was with Minnesota when they hired O'Connell, and then just kind of backing away. I wonder how much of him wanting this job was baked into it. Like, waiting for... Now, I guess I suppose then he could have wanted it because it was open that offseason too.
Yeah.
But maybe wanting this job when it was maybe a little more, the house was a little more in order.
Mm-hmm. But in that job too, like, Jack Easterby was influencing that previous job search.
Bingo,
and
that
was also the point at which Jack Easterby kind of became detached from the organization. That job
Lovey
search,
came in.
I think a lot of stuff was kind of diced out and maybe came to light during that job search.
Yeah.
And Jack Easterby, from the moment Lovey Smith was hired, was it was almost like a physical detachment at team events and everything. It was just different.
Yeah.
He went from a guy who was always around and always there, even if he wasn't in front of camera, but we noticed it just even in kind of the daily workings of things. Then he was fired within 6 months.
So you're right. So it was open, but not a desirable job at the time. So I wonder if...
Well, and again, I don't know if Easterby would have been like, with whichever strings he was playing,
D'Amico would have been the guy.
Yeah.
That's true.
There were a whole lot of people that had attachments to Jack Easterby.
That were in the mix for that job at the time. The question or the answer about D'Amico and doing the interview with Nick, the reason I framed that question the way I did was something that you were pointing out long before the vetting process even started with a new coach there, which is you were the first one I heard who said you thought, amidst skepticism by everybody because Nick was still labeled a Patriots guy at that point, that the two of them would get along great, you thought, from the get-go. And that's why I framed the question the way I did, because I was hoping, and they did shed some light on it, just like how quickly did that meshing happen in the interview? Because clearly Nick was very enthusiastic about D'Amico with one Zoom conversation.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, how quick was it very evident that
they were ready to go?
Yeah, like all of a sudden, like, and I won't say turning. It's not like Nick was anti-D'Amico or anything, but that you could see the connection starting.
You know what I'll say is, I think if you want to look at Nick's experience, and I'm not trying to say you're trying to make it Patriots South or anything, but Nick's experience with Bill Belichick and perhaps how sometimes the things that Bill Belichick was really good at sometimes gets clouded over by the other stuff and the grumpiness or whatever. But one of the very best things that I was always impressed by with Bill Belichick was just flat out how good they were at teaching and coaching their players at the position level. Because there'd be teams with the Patriots in some of their championship years where I'd look at the defense at the beginning of the season and think, well, these guys are just not going to get it done. Then I'd check in on them and I'd watch film of a game like 5 or 6 weeks later. And I'm like looking at the depth chart to be sure it's the same guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, these guys are just like, they're fundamentally better. And when you would watch Bill Belichick operate, again, I think this is maybe why some of Belichick's head coach, assistants don't go on to be better head coaches. Belichick was really good at getting his coaches to coach the positions well, the technical side of football, like teaching. And he might have done it with a different methodology than D'Amico, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of Belichick's strength as a coach was that he was a really good teacher. And likewise, D'Amico's strength as a coach, I think, is that he's a really good teacher. So as different as they might be in personality or anything else, I think they share that in common, and I bet that came through and really resonated with Caserio.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're right about that. Text mess. We're getting a lot of texts. The McNairs have genuinely become the most popular owners in the league, and they're very down to earth. That's what's wild to see is for the people, you know, for people outside of Houston that weren't immersed here to experience it on a day to day basis, that just how much heat Cal McNair was getting. Like, the team couldn't tweet anything out about any topic in 2021 or 2022 without people going, sell the team, fire Jack, do this, do that. And that's what's crazy. And Cal and Han are obviously hugely popular. They're on a wave of popularity right now. It's wild to watch people, like when Cal, what was the thing he did most recently that was that we were talking about last week?
Ask Me Anything.
He did the Reddit Ask Me Anything, but there was something else last week that we did a whole topic on, and I can't remember what it was. But he's done multiple things where they're like, this guy's the coolest owner in the league.
Him getting out of the car and doing the interview.
That was one. God, I wish I could remember what it was. But anyways, just seeing reaction to stuff that Cal does and people like in these other cities, like, man, I wish my owner was like that.
Yeah.
It's wild to see if you experienced 2 and 3 years ago.
I thought from a management perspective, them talking about how when they kind of decided, like, all right, listen, we're going to get out there and do this, that it starts with a philosophy of or instructions from Cal and Hannah to the entire staff. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
Because that stuff, the hard part about that as a manager or somebody who runs a company is you got to follow through on the don't be afraid. You know, like, you can't tell people don't be afraid to fail and then crush them if they fail.
Right.
It's that you got to, okay, you're like, okay, it didn't work. Cool. What's the next idea? It's easier said than done. And I think that's hard to do, especially when you're in a situation where everything is down and in the dumps and there's not necessarily a whole lot of esprit de corps.
Yeah.
You got to really commit to allowing people to fail and encourage them on their next idea.
Right.
And keep going.
It's tough to do somewhere where failure was the norm for a while.
Right.
You know,
don't be afraid to fail. I can do that. I can fail.
Shotgun. I Googled it in an article from a young up-and-coming writer named Sean Pendergast for the Houston Press has an article from last week about Cal McNair shotgunning a beer at the Luke Combs
concert.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Isn't it punting it?
And he did it because so his players wouldn't feel pressured to shotgun the beer during the season.
Not to mention
CJ doesn't even drink.
He sacrificed for the team.
Kind of an awkward situation. That's the ultimate peer pressure right there.
Yeah.
You're in front of 50,000 people cheering for you to do something
that you've never done before. Remember, Hannah said he didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Or he didn't know it was called a shotgunning a beer. I'm sure he's seen
people. You know what? That's what we should have done. We should have asked him various, like, stupid drinking things and whether he's ever done them or heard of them. Has he ever done a keg stand? has he ever butt chugged a beer? I don't know. Just curious. If he's never shotgunned a beer, he's definitely never butt-chugged a beer.
No.
I don't think they got my Tommy Boy joke. I should have framed it. That came up in the moment, and I could have done a better job of like painting the picture that I was talking about.
Adam, I knew where you were
Adam
going.
Adam Sandler and the Water Boy.
Yeah.
He had a pretty successful career after the Water Boy.
He did well.
He was doing all right beforehand, but I think it was Water. Ben, was Water Boy the first like super smash hit that Adam Sandler had?
Probably.
He had a pretty big stretch.
Because Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison weren't that big. They were more cult classics.
Yeah, Waterboy was more of a...
And then Waterboy came out when he was at the height of his power.
Yeah.
8 jillion texts. Shotgunning a beer. He chugged a beer. He shotgunned a beer. No, yeah, I know. Right. Thank you. And kicking the beer can. People like that a lot.
Waterboy was also good for Lawrence Taylor's career, too.
Remember,
he makes an appearance.
Yeah, he made an appearance in The Sopranos too, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, that's right, playing poker,
of the poker games. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this Sopranos documentary coming out, the David Chase documentary.
Yeah,
2-part documentary on Max, HBO Max, coming out on September the 7th.
The creator of The Sopranos goes in on how the show was created, how nobody wanted to buy it initially. It's all I didn't know this. You probably knew it already, but the nucleus, the kernel of everything was that David Chase's mother was a lot like Tony Soprano's mother. And that was how he just created the character. It was almost, so it feels like it might have been like David Chase's alter ego. Like if he had responded a different way to having the mother that he did.
It didn't start out as a mob series. It started out as a mother son kind of thing. And he's like, well, this is boring.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about me.
Let's kill some people and throw some strippers in there too.
Yeah. And that's what they did. And poof. Just add water, and all of a sudden, boom.
So it went from a series that would have been appreciated by annoying intellectuals to like one that all of us could enjoy.
To one that I can like, yeah.
To lovable intellectuals could like.
Yes, yes.
That's you.
Right, lovable intellectuals. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So big thanks to Cal and Hannah. If you missed the interview, that'll be up on the podcast for sure. Odyssey app, download the Odyssey app. We encourage you to do that. All right, Rams coming to town today. Well, coming to town, they're here. Practice starts in about an hour and a half. So early Rams coming to town, or I guess current Rams coming to town storylines involving C.J. Stroud, Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, even Puka Nacua.
Who won't be out there practicing, but
Puka's not out there today?
Well, I wouldn't imagine so. His knee injury was supposed to keep him out for a couple
drafted
weeks.
Drafted him last night.
I'd be surprised if he, yeah.
Okay. All right. But we don't even need him out there on the practice field for this storyline that we have. We've got four early Rams storylines, and we've got that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Is there a mindset or intensity you have to recognize going into that to do what you need to do, but not the things you don't need to do?
I see where you're getting at. No, just, you know, attack the day just like every other camp day and try to go out there and get better and just, you know, try to keep it clean and just, you know, be on my assignment and make sure I be on my details as well.
How do you find that balance in between not being as physical as you want to be and knowing that, you know, you have to lay off just a little bit?
I gotta find that balance still.
That was Jimmy Ward's safety asked there. That was Sarge asking, like, how do you find that balance with, you know, the physicality at a practice like that? I'm paraphrasing, but Jimmy Ward's like, I'll let you know when I find it.
Yeah, because Jimmy Ward, as he will be one of the guys practicing against the Rams today, a team which, by the way, it used to get super physical between the 49ers and the Rams when Jimmy Ward was in San Francisco.
Did they used to practice together?
No, but in the games, the NFC West.
Yeah. Big
they
rivals.
They sent Tyler Higbee to the sideline like 3 times in two games.
That's right. I remember
Jimmy Ward
that.
Did it a couple times. They turned Higbee into their like personal plaything.
Wow.
Just something to beat about the head and ears. It was pretty fun. So there's probably some bad blood between them, but people remember that Jimmy Ward, when the 49ers were having a combined practice with the Texans in 2018, Jimmy Ward got into it with DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre thought Jimmy Ward was playing too hard.
Yeah.
That wasn't even something that happened during the play. Jimmy went to poke out the ball after the play was over, kind of as defensive backs are wont to do, and DeAndre Hopkins took exception.
Jimmy does it with his own guys. We've seen it. I mean, he had Dalton Schultz last year, and then this year with Stephon Diggs, it started a big dust-up.
So I don't want it to be anything that gets the practice canceled or anything.
No, I don't either. And yet, I still don't really feel like I want Jimmy Ward to change now that he's on our team. You know, just don't do it to your own guys anymore. No more friendly fire.
He hasn't softened with age, I don't think.
No.
Jimmy Ward still. No, he's got a Kareem Jackson side to him, if anything. Yeah. Kareem got, well, what happened was eventually, after years of stops and starts, when Kareem started playing safety full-time in Denver. That's where the true beast was unleashed.
Yeah,
and
he just Kareem turned into like a serial killer.
Kareem almost killed DeAndre Hopkins, too, over the middle, remember?
2019. Yeah, 2019. Yeah. He wound up winning Defensive Player of the Week that week, Kareem.
Yeah.
Remember? He came back here, returned a fumble for a touchdown.
Celebrated in suspension, in absentia.
That's right. On hiatus. So we probably got a lot of people right now on their way to Texans practice. Practice starts at 9. This is the last one that fans will be able to attend. Somebody text in saying, hey, guys, I just drove by the stadium. There's like 200 people in the street. What's going on? Texans practice today. Yeah. This is what's been going on. The line has been down the street and around the corner. Even the night practice that was like the line had to form in the middle of the day in a 98-degree day out there. Down Merworth, around the corner. It was crazy.
Well, you know, the other thing they did, the event where they introduced the team, it used to be a team luncheon where all the players are there and they introduced the roster and all that. They've changed that. It's bigger now.
It's at night. It's the season premiere. Callahan talked about the season premiere.
But the amount of money, I don't know if they released, but all the proceeds go to charity, but it's like 10 times as much as they used to raise at that event. They raise a lot of money for charity. And part of that, obviously, is the making it bigger and open to ticket buyers, but also just the fervor over the team.
No doubt. Yeah, it's a confluence of things. It's great. So that'll be on August 29th. So Rams coming to town storylines for this practice today, and I suppose to some degree for the game on Saturday, but let's get you ready for the combined practice. Number one. CJ gets to meet his hero, Matthew Stafford, in person.
That's right.
Remember
CJ,
that?
Big, big fan of Matt Stafford.
CJ was on, whose podcast was it on?
$1 million a game.
$1 million worth a game where he and Tank were sitting on the couch. Yeah. This was CJ Stroud. I had no idea that he loved Matthew Stafford this much.
He might be up there with Brady and them, bro.
No, come on.
No, bro. That's crazy. Let me go back. Hey, because look, look, dog, hold on. Before you do all this, I'm a student of the game. Stafford, a dog.
He is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that. That's all I watch. I don't watch nobody else. I watch Mahomes at times because Mahomes does some stuff that, like, you can't coach. Stafford, dog. He will beat you with the same thing every time. All that no-lick stuff, I got that from bruh. Like, literally, that's one of my big, like, I'm a fan of his. Like,
if I go to LA,
I be trying to find, bro.
But
like,
it's
we got the same trainers. I be trying to, like,
that's
go to where they working out and just
saying.
Watch.
I feel what you're saying. That's all I'm saying.
Elite,
like, Charles Barkley.
Hold on. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee you might have had more rings, for sure. I think Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford had more than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had another ring probably.
I'd say he had like 3-4.
He might. It's possible.
Bro.
He good. But what I'm saying is his levels of greatness.
All right, so that was CJ. So CJ's going to fanboy today a little
bit.
Yeah,
he might be trailing him around. Matt Stafford might get annoyed
CJ,
with CJ.
Get over
Stroud.
Here. We got to practice.
What if CJ go out there with a notebook?
He might.
Or an iPad or something.
Like a 10% chance he actually literally might do that.
Yeah, that is cool, actually. It's usually they're practicing on separate fields when you have combined practices.
CJ has anything to say about it.
It'll be a 4-hour practice because they'll take turns alternating between the Rams.
I'm just going to be all-time quarterback with bruh.
All right,
so that's number one. Number two, you brought this up earlier this week. Dameon Pierce. You know, we listed some places Dameon Pierce could get shipped off to if the Texans are of mind to shuffle the running back room a little bit. Yeah. I don't think it'd be a big surprise if Dameon Pierce got traded. could we see a Christian Vasquez situation where when the Astros traded for him, they were playing the Red Sox,
yeah,
and they just said, just go down the hall, bro.
Yeah.
You got a locker waiting for you right there. Do they do that with the Rams, who now run a little bit more of a Pierce-friendly running
scheme? They do,
scheme.
Like, yeah, man-blocking type stuff. Yeah. They're not like as much of a heavily outside zone-based scheme. This is part of the problem with that, even though that's my theory, is that this would make sense for, like, a baseball-style trade. Is that, like, Damian has struggled in every type of run play this preseason in the games. It's not, I think sometimes people think, well, okay, the scheme doesn't fit him. What the heck? No, like, they were running power on that, the play down in the red zone, and Damian just didn't look right on that play.
He's running like he's got gremlins in his head.
Yeah, they're
like
pulling,
gremlins
they're
that have infiltrated the elbow of Bregman are in Damian's brain right now.
It's not just an outside zone thing. So, yes, it's true that I think he really struggles with the outside zone stuff, but it's not just that. It's been all types of runs going back to last year, not just in training camp this year, but going back to last year. So it's not just a scheme problem. But I do think that I think that Damian could be that classic guy, situation where the Texans genuinely love him. They genuinely think he's the right kind of guy. They know that there's potential in there somewhere. I almost said untapped. It was tapped in 2022.
Right.
But so it could be one of those things where, you know what? Maybe he does just genuinely need a different situation or circumstances or whatever it might be. And maybe in some conversations with the Rams, they've got enough common connections there that, you know, the Rams can take them at face value and maybe take a swing at Damian Pierce.
Okay, so that's number two.
So Les Snead is the guy. We need to be watching Les Snead,
keep
the GM
an eye,
of the Rams today.
Keep eyes on
today.
Snead, yeah.
First guy I ever talked to in the NFL.
Oh, really?
You know,
is he like a scout
a visit,
for somebody?
He was like a rookie assistant scout, had just graduated from Auburn, and he was the one that picked me up at the airport and took me out for tacos
with Jacksonville?
When I visited Jacksonville.
Oh, no kidding.
Before the draft, yeah.
What kind of tacos did he get? Do you remember?
It wasn't tacos. It was he took me to some chain Mexican place.
Okay.
You like they weren't. Well, I wasn't getting the steak dinner. Okay, It wasn't like the whole.
You got to be at least a second round.
Yeah, I didn't meet the owner on that trip. Okay,
they did draft you though. You made an impression, obviously.
Yeah.
Good job.
Probably because of Les's glowing recommendation.
Probably. Yeah. All right, you got to go find him today. You should find him and see if he remembers that.
Yeah, he does remember it. But yeah. Okay. I've talked to him about it before. But I'll find him nonetheless.
Find him again. Number three. Can Cam Akers keep from walking over and belting Sean McVay in the face? These two did not get along at the very end.
They didn't get along for like over a year.
Right.
So just to lay out the timeline, 2021, yeah, was his rookie year.
No, that
or
was,
it was 2020
that
was his rookie year. That's right. 2020 was his rookie year, Cam Akers' rookie year. He had some really electrifying moments. It wasn't a 1,000-yard rusher or anything. But then in 2021, Cam Akers tears his Achilles tendon early in the season or training camp.
Training camp.
Comes back and ends up playing in the playoffs. By 2022, they were trying to trade him before the trade deadline. And Sean McVay kind of bluntly put in an interview that there were things he wasn't going to talk about, but they weren't on the same page. They didn't successfully trade him, so they tried like hell to trade him again in 2023, and they traded him to the Vikings. But it doesn't sound like there was a lovey-lovey relationship.
No,
there
so maybe we see fireworks today. Maybe Cam has a big run and he throws the ball at Sean McVay or something like that. Mm-hmm. So let's keep eyes on that.
Hope not. I hope it's more just that Cam Akers is just he's going to control what he can control, and I don't need Cam Akers for whatever issues the Rams had with him. I hope that Cam Akers has kind of just changed his ways a little bit.
Whatever. Like, we wouldn't come in tomorrow and spend three segments on Cam Akers throwing a ball at the opposing coach.
You know what Tua would do?
What is wrong with you?
What would Tua do if they were? Tua would just sit there with his hands like this, like giving an evil look at Brian Flores if they were practicing against the Vikings.
Right.
There's the man.
Yeah.
That's the one that was mean to
terrible
me.
Person.
He
terrible
was just,
person.
I can't even tell you how mean he was to me.
Hey, last one. Last storyline. Puka Nacua was part of a small group of players that when they were they've released a new Madden game.
Yeah.
And they did a short video. The voices you're going to hear are Puka Nacua at the beginning, Micah Parsons, Chad Ochocinco is in this thing, but they're talking about what players they like to use and what teams they like to play with.
The Packers, for sure. Aaron Rodgers.
Randy Moss. I remember the Patriots. I used to just throw it up. He was, like, the most OP player ever.
The Dolphins, obviously. Once I did make it to the league, obviously the Bengals.
I would say I typically play as myself, but if I don't, I think Chiefs and Buffalo are great teams to use.
No, I don't. I like to play with C.J. Stroud. He's a great quarterback, so I play with the Texans every once in a while.
Yeah, that's Puka Nacua at the end. Puka, hey, man, the bus is full, dude. We've got Diggs. We've got Dell. We've got Nico. Yeah, no, we'll put you on the wait list.
Well, right.
He's been deferred. We're a college now, and he's applying for admission to the Houston Texans receiver room, and he's been deferred.
But he's got a really old father who might die soon in Matt Stafford. So he's thinking about, like, all right, what do I do after daddy dies?
Right. What's going to happen with new, the younger, family business?
Cool stepdad in C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. That's true. Right about the time Diggs is probably kind of phasing out will be about the time Puka is agitating for a new contract and maybe a trade.
Or just, I mean, maybe not even agitating. Just like Matt Stafford retires and they draft some dude that they draft Daniel Jones or trade for Daniel Jones or
Puka's
something.
Puka's really good, man.
Yeah. He's, you won't see him out of practice. I'd be incredibly surprised. He's been week to week with a knee injury. Not day to day, week to week.
Okay.
They expect him to be back for the season opener. He sounds like he's in Christian Harrisville.
Good. I drafted him last night. I need him to be back.
Say Christian Harrisburg. Yeah. That sounds better.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Let's talk Astros. Up next. They lose the battle yesterday, but did they kind of win the war? We'll discuss that. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.